Shakespeare once said all the world's a stage, but he didn't tell us how to get there. This is Steps to the Stage, a 7th Street Theater podcast. I'm your host, Colin Pinedo, and let's get the show going.
Thank you, places!
Folks at home, do you have a business, small or otherwise, that isn't pulling in traffic the way you want it to? Well, it might be because they don't have something to remember you by. And that's why today, we are sponsored by Graphic Details, Inc., Signs and Displays. They will print out your banners, they'll cut vinyl, they'll do window graphics for the company cars. We're talking business cards, banner stands, LCD displays, tabletop displays, logos, all in full living color. Again, that is Graphic Details, Inc. here in Chino, California. Thank you so much. Hey there, hi there, ho there, and welcome to our first post-drop episode of Steps to the Stage, a 7th Street Theater podcast taking you through the ins and outs of theater production with the community theater professionals you know and love. Today, we are embarking on a mini-series of sorts tackling the technical aspects of production design. I figure we'll start talking about set design as well as set construction today. So here to help us talk about these topics, we have our resident master carpenter, Bill Rice, who is sitting right next to a skilled and talented builder in his own right, Doug Rumbaugh. Bill, Doug, welcome back.
Thank you, Colin.
Hey.
Good to be here.
Hello, hello. How have you been?
Good. Doing great.
Doing great. Fantastic. Doing great. So you two are more on the carpentry and just the construction side of things, more or less, yes?
Correct.
How much of the actual like design process working with the director, the production team, are you involved in?
Usually we're involved up front. Mm-hmm. I work mostly with Donna, mm-hmm. and she likes to get a head start along, you know, months ahead of time. So we work with her and the set design, the artistic design. And we start discussing what the vision is. I mean, that's the main thing. What is the vision?
Yeah.
And they usually will have drawings, and then we break down the drawings into pieces that we're going to have to put together, like the puzzle of putting a stage together.
You talked mostly about working with Donna. How is the process differ working with other directors?
I could probably speak to that because I work with other directors.
Go ahead.
Perfect.
And I know Donna well as well. She's very organized. She's mm-hmm. She has everything you need up front. She gives you everything you need, and it's awesome. It's amazing. Other directors are fly by the seat of your pants, and they come in, they have a vision. It's a loose vision, and mm-hmm. you're not only the set builder, you're also the set designer. So most of the time, you want the directors to submit with their play submission for the year mm-hmm. or for the season a diagram or something showing, hey, this is kind of what I want my set
like
to look
like. Like a loose sort of sketch.
Like a loose sort of sketch. And then, you know, Bill or myself or, you know, whoever's helping will take that sketch and actually fit it into our stage parameters. Mm-hmm. And like Bill said, break it down into its individual components and then piece everything together.
Awesome. How would you like to be more or less involved in that process?
In the upfront process is much better.
Way more.
Yes, because they're... Once we know what we have, then if we need to, we may need to build something that takes a certain amount of time to mm-hmm. build. It may be complex. And if we don't know until the last minute, then we may be out of luck.
You can't
wait till the last, you know, the day before opening day and say, oh, I want this. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of planning that needs to go in beforehand.
Yeah, we have to buy materials, and some materials may not be involved, you know, be available locally. Mm-hmm. I know some parts, some pieces we have to get from LA area, Hollywood mm-hmm. and whatnot, and because they just are not available at Home Depot or Lowe's or mm-hmm. anywhere around here.
Which leads right into my next question. So say there's like a block in the road for whatever reason, or you don't have the materials or the tools necessary to build part of the set. How do you work around that? How do you remedy that? And what, like?
It's called an audible.
But we have to work hand in hand with the director and the artistic designer. Mm-hmm. We'll ask them to make the call on, you know, hey, we have this option, but you wanted this, but we can't make this work. Mm-hmm. How does this work out? So we may suggest something, or they may say, no, let's go this way.
It's more of a compromise.
Well, let the director make the call, or the artistic director, whoever the set designer is, mm-hmm. you know, just. We bring them, like Bill said, present them the options. This is what we can do. This is what you wanted.
Yeah.
This is what we can do. And these are your options. On what we-
Some directors have less of a idea of what they want. They actually prefer for us to have more of an idea, to have a lot more input. Mm-hmm. I know that when Paul has worked with some of the in the adult theater mm-hmm. and doing master carpentry work there, they almost just turn the whole set over to him and let him. Yeah, I mean, they trust Paul, and they know, and Paul likes to do it. He likes to do the design.
Absolutely,
he has
a
lot of great ideas.
Oh yeah,
and you know, I'm not the most artistic person, so you know, some of those calls, you know, it would be much better if Paige or Donna or somebody else
was able to step in and help you along the way. Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you've had to pull materials and resources. You said specifically Hollywood. Could you talk about that a little bit? That sounds exciting.
Just that some of the – you can only get eight, for instance, plywood or the Luan, which we use a lot of. You can only get a specific size, four feet by 8 feet. Some of the flats are 10-foot flat, and some of the other elements, you need 10-foot pieces of lumber or what have you. Those can only be the plywood and the Luan are only available that I know of in Hollywood or in Los Angeles area. So, you know, fortunately we have Caden Fox working with us, and and he works there. You know, that's his job
in the industry.
And he has a truck, and so he'll pick up stuff and deliver it for us. You know, I mean, we're very lucky to have Caden, you know, not just for that, but I mean, he's such a skilled worker himself.
Part of the message of this podcast, trying to reach audience members who aren't necessarily that familiar with the theater environment. And you said a word that I would like you to repeat, and that is Luan. And I would like you to talk about Luan for people who aren't necessarily, who don't have a lot of knowledge in terms of stagecraft, and talk about why that is useful to theater.
Okay. Luan, it's spelled L-U-A-N. And it's a kind of plywood. It's really thin plywood. It's like an eighth of an inch to a quarter inch thick, whereas standard plywood is, you know, maybe a half inch to three quarter inch thick. Now with the thin plywood like Luan, it's not very strong, but it's light, and you can use it for the flats and for covering things, easily covering things,
covering holes, gaps,
wherever
you need to put a wall or a temporary wall, you can throw up some Luan, two by fours, and you have a wall.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So
Luan's very handy.
Yeah, I have a lot of memories of stapling Luans to two by fours to make flats and walls and things. What other ways could you think of to try and prevent running out of materials, or trying to prevent not having the tools necessary? So you can
being involved up front. That's it all goes
back to that.
Keeping the set builders, master carpenter, whoever's running your set build, involved from the beginning, so that they are in step with your vision. And in case there is an audible and something has to change, we can't do it exactly this way, you can at least present options where you know that it's in line with the director or artistic director's vision, and present, you know, credible options instead of just, here's this piece.
Planning up front is good. And, you know, even if we had the materials, let's say, you know, we don't have a lot of space for storage of just raw materials. You know, we could have a few extra sheets, and maybe we have those supplies, but we also need the time to build something. And so planning ahead of time how it's going to fit in with the rest of everything else. And plus, you have to have the people here to do it. And that's, you know, that's important.
Volunteers. Everyone here is a volunteer, more or less, you know. You talked a lot about you have to go back to the beginning and try and build a plan from there. How did you two get started in working at this part of the theater?
Donna has been involved with theater for years and years. She was, you know, involved in theater when she was in high school. So she's always loved theater. And so she started directing plays and participating in plays several years ago. And then Paul and Karen have been good friends for a long time. And Paul said, hey, come on and help us do a build on one of the plays. And so I came out, you know, and it was enjoyable just hanging out and building something. And Had a great time. And so just keep coming back because it's fun.
Yeah.
Hanging out and it's creative.
Yeah. So. My daughter got the acting bug. She auditioned for Mary Poppins, which coincidentally is what was one of Donna's shows. So
yes, it was.
My wife said they need help actually at the fire station where we do all of our storage. Mm-hmm. I showed up, I saw people painting, and I was like, yes, I get to paint. It's an easy day.
Fun colors.
I don't know if this guy or Caden or Paul, one of the three of those guys put a screw gun in my hand and we built shelves over there.
Oh,
and I was
like,
oh, these guys are pretty fun to hang out with. And then they said, oh, yeah, come back tomorrow. You got to do the set build at the actual theater. So I showed up, Mary Poppins set build. That was my first one. I helped his last name is escaping me, Ken.
Armor.
Ken Armor. I helped Ken Armor hang one of the walls, the double doors that folded open. And I was like, oh, this is so much fun. I had so much fun. And just hanging out with Paul and Bill and Ken and all the guys, it was amazing. I'm like, I was hooked from there, and I just kept coming back. And I kept coming back for shows that my kids weren't involved in. I was just, I want to be here and build stuff and take an empty space and make something.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of been the story with a lot of the people that we've talked to already on this show, of just like showing up one day, not really knowing what to expect, and then slowly falling in love with it. And you just keep coming back and coming back. Yep. And it's really cool to see how people that you didn't think would be involved in this type of stuff can be involved in it and really enjoy it and really find fulfillment in it. I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to go to shows and I'd be counting the lights on the ceiling. I'd be counting,
really?
I'd be counting the curtain rods. Like, how many curtain rods? Now I go to a show and I pay attention to the story because I know all the work that's gone into to putting that story on the stage.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm looking at the technical details. I'm like, oh, how did they build this little shed over here? And I'm trying to get, because, you know, it's kind of like the magic behind the magic. You see Disneyland and you see it's all pretty, and then you go backstage and it's kind of like, oh, it's a normal place. Same thing on a stage. You look at it, oh, it's so beautiful. And then you walk backstage, you see all the wood and all the
stuff, the screws
together, all the screws, and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool too. And I'm looking at that stuff as well, going, how do they build that?
Yeah, to see like how the illusion is crafted. Yeah.
It's my whole perception on theater since that day I started at the firehouse is just flipped 180.
So, so cool.
So awesome.
You know, just one thing I wanted to say is as far as you know, starting and, you know, a lot of people worry about, well, I don't know that much about building, and you don't have to know that much. You know, I knew how to use the tools, but I really didn't know that much about building and construction and that sort of thing. And this is a very forgiving, field.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't have to be perfect. You know, we're not putting together, a rocket ship or something like that. This is just a simple sets that are going to be up a short time.
Yeah.
And, you know, paint can cover a lot of
mistakes,
a lot of errors. It's a very forgiving. Uh-huh. So, you know, and it's a chance to, you know, create stuff, you know, well, what do you think? How do you think things should be put together? What ideas?
Yeah.
You know, then you learn to use the tools, and after time, it just becomes second nature.
To reinforce that, I didn't really know how to build a house front before I started working with Bill and Paul, and now, like, I can build a house front. I can put structures up and put an actual roof with shingles on it.
Got it.
I can take that from scratch and do that now. Before I started working here, no idea.
Wow.
So yeah, Doug was the main man on Picnic for the
Adult Theater.
That was
so cool.
That was
I only saw the photos,
but
it looked incredible.
Set.
It was
this guy here.
It was Paul Archer's design, and he helped me start it. Like, he showed me, like, hey, bro, this is what I want. This is where we're going. And then him and Karen had to go somewhere on vacation or see family. And I was left to finish half of the first house and then actually build the second house from scratch. And it was like, I was so excited after that.
He got thrown into the lead part.
Yeah.
I came and helped, but
he was busy. He couldn't do it. So I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
For those of you who didn't see Picnic, the set is basically, it's the two houses essentially across the street from each other, right?
Yeah. Basically the backyard.
So
a screen door on the back and then a shed on one side for one of the houses. Yeah, it's like a shared backyard in the middle of Kansas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was
fun. And built all that, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you take an empty space and you put something there and then you step back. And for me, even on sets that I'm not the designer or anything, that's just ones that I'm a part of, I step back and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I was a part of doing this. How cool is that? How cool is that for me to be a part of this team that actually made this a reality?
Picture this for me. Warm food, right? People chitting and chatting all around you like it's a big family. You know, take a whiff in. Breathe it in deep. What do you smell? What is that? What is it? Tomato? Ooh. A little bit of garlic? Yeah. Perhaps a bit of the mozzarella cheese? Oh, you know it. Open your eyes. Where were you? That's right. Canateros. Dine under the vine with a hand-tossed pizza made the old-fashioned way. You know what I mean? None of that deep-fried gunk like at those national chains. No. If you want good quality, family-made Italian food, go to Canateros. Trust me.
One of the reoccurring compliments that we all get, that the theater continually gets, is how impressive the sets can be given such a small space, with things like Picnic or things like In the Heights that had the whole like alleyway and the street going through it with the bridge in the back, which was incredible. Other thing, like Next to Normal with the Blueprint House, that was so cool. Yeah. Those all seem incredibly very impressive and seem almost very difficult to try and create dressed out of, you know, plywood and paint and things. So what is like the hardest thing you've had to build for a show? Oh, both boy. Of you.
A good one.
And just overall the most like...
Well, I have less experience, so I'm going back to the Picnic House. That was because it was real siding, like,
oh, really?
Siding with layered side. Like, Paul wanted the house, that backs of the houses to look exactly real. Like, you walk in and you're like, oh my gosh, there's two houses sitting here in the backyard. That's what I'm watching. Incredible. So that was taking that one, because Paul helped me, you know, with half the first one. And then, but just taking that second one and building it from the ground up, that was very challenging, especially when I got to the roof. And I didn't measure it quite right. And like Bill said, it's very forgiving. I probably had a 1 foot section sticking up, like a 4 foot wide section. Mm-hmm. 1 foot of it was sticking up higher than the rest of it. And I had to cut my roof around that. And it still had to be stable and not fall. And like, so that was a challenge. And you know, when I was done with it, I was like, that was awesome. Sorry, but yeah, obviously, I'm so excited. I'm punching the microphone. Anyways, that's it for me. Hopefully, I gave you enough time.
The one that popped into my head was The Christmas Story.
With the big giant doors.
Yeah. And so technically, it was a challenge because you had to be able to see both sides.
Yeah.
And also we had to build, I can't remember how many, six.
The window thing?
The window things had to move around. And I was more worried about those.
Yeah.
But those are actually turned out easier than building the doors.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The doors, you had to get them so that when the two doors met, they would close.
Yeah. The Christmas Story set was essentially like a giant dollhouse.
Yeah.
Basically, where you had the giant like sort of side of the house that would then open right down the middle to see the inside, so I can imagine how that'd be kind of pretty challenging to try and piece together.
You know, and it has to open and still look right and not be, you know, not be off balance or off level. Mm-hmm. And our stage is not the, you know,
it's a little wobbly.
It was a challenge.
And we also had the windows we're talking about were these six giant like fake window panes on wheels that we had to roll around to make a little department scene vignettes and things that would light up on the inside, right? They had like an LED strip or something.
Yeah.
Those were, as someone who had to drive one of those, they were very difficult to maneuver.
Yeah. That was challenging and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fun. Yes. Fun. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun is key.
Yes. Yeah. Fun is a very important part of that experience. Another part that is important is being able, like you said, it's a very forgiving environment, being able to make mistakes and cover them up, but also learn from them. Based on the two stories you just told me, what were some things that you learned from those experiences, from those sets that you helped
measure build? Twice? I already knew that, and I thought I measured, but I obviously didn't measure right.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I was tired that night. Excuses. I just make sure that before you actually tie something in, that it's correct. Because I was just going for it. I was all excited because I was building, and it was looking great. Like the frame was looking great, and then I got done and I was like, oh, I looked up like, oh, there's a
giant
section there that doesn't look right. but then at that point I couldn't take it down because I'd already tied in two other pieces to the side of it. So it was like, you know, and I pay attention to detail.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
That was one of the first times I was a master carpenter. Mm-hmm. And so I learned just how important it is to have people, to have other people there to help out. Mm-hmm. You know, having to lift up those
huge
doors off the ground.
Sheets of Luan, hey.
Yeah.
And hold something straight.
And to try to do that, the whole thing, to have people to help out and to, you know, to trust them to figure out stuff. And it's like, you know, sometimes you got to let go. And, so that's a lesson for me is letting go and trusting other people to, you know, hey, they know what they're doing. They're, they can take care of it.
Can I change mine?
Have faith in other people, learning to let go and give them the trust that you have for yourself is, I think, a great lesson and a great sentiment for us to end on today. So I would like to thank you both for being here and giving us your time and talking about your shared experiences here. It has been delightful talking to you.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's you got it. Happy to talk with you too, Colin.
Yeah.
You're a hoot, man. You're a hoot. So is Doug. Doug says, I'm a hoot.
Uh-huh. You're awesome. A
couple of owls.
Thank you for doing this. You guys,
of course.
You guys are doing a great job with this program.
And
you're doing a great job.
It's been so fun to be able to.
And if anybody wants to come to the unglamorous, unsexy part of theater, come set build with us.
Wait a minute.
You need a swear jar.
In today's day and age, it's more important than ever to remain informed and present in your community, which is why today we would like to highlight the Chino Champion local newspaper. Make sure you keep up with all of Chino's great local events like festivals, meetups, and live performances, virtual or otherwise. The Chino Champion. Thanks for tuning in. Please, subscribe to Steps to the Stage on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that good stuff. And scene.